Good morning. This is the Faith Builders program coming to you from Oasis Christian Center, a family church in Smith Station, Alabama. We invite you to listen to Pastor Rock as he ministers the Word of God to us. Our church is a non-denominational Word of Faith church. We hope that this program is a blessing to you and that you will tell your friends and relatives to tune in. Now here is Pastor Rock.
Praise the Lord. Y'all got a bunch of smiling faces in here this morning. I like it. Praise God. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service this day. And Father, we just thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you that the word of the Lord will have free course in our midst. We thank you for strong utterance and strong anointing. We thank you for strong utterance and strong anointing. We thank you for strong utterance and strong anointing this day, and that your people will make a strong drawing on the anointing of God this day. We thank you for answers coming in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I ask if you will to get your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 4. It's actually 4 and 15. And the title I gave Ish was, Can God Trust You? And I didn't give him the longer title because Ish kind of sometimes, that's the only time you see his eyebrows raise sometimes when you give him a really long title that's not going to fit properly on the thing. You'll see one eyebrow kick up. So I didn't give him the whole title. I gave him part of it this morning. I gave him, Can God Trust You? But the title that I have is, Can God Trust You Enough to Really Bless You? So, okay, y'all are in Ephesians 4 and 15. I'm reading it out of the Amplified Classic. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things. Speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things unto Him, who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I love that scripture. I just can't get over how beautiful that scripture is. And let us grow up in every way and in all things unto Him who is the head. Now, I heard something and it just kind of went off in my spirit. It was a testimony. I've heard it before. But Brother Jerry Savelle, I don't know how familiar y'all are with him. I know we've mentioned him a lot and we've mentioned different things that he's done. And he was talking about when he first came to the Lord. He said that the Lord, you know, his background was he worked on cars. He had his own auto repair shop, and he'd you know, transform cars that had been messed up, and, you know, he'd fix them just like they were brand new. I mean, he'd just repair them, and just he worked on a lot of classic cars. He had a couple of cars like that. He did a lot of, like, hot riding, and he was always reading hot rod magazines, and he's got motorcycles, and, you know, that was his whole life. And then when he came to the Lord, he said the Lord, you know, dealt with him, okay, I want you to minister for me. And the Lord, you know, took him aside for several months and told him, I want you to shut your business down. And his business was the main focal point of his whole life, and everything kind of went around that. Him and his dad had, you know, kind of brought him up this way, that, you know, he was at the racetrack on the weekends, and, you know, it's just something that they loved. And he said, but the Lord told him, he said, I want you to get in the Word, and I want you to get in the Word as if you're in a Bible school. This is your Bible school for 8 hours a day for the next 3 months, because I want to prepare you for the ministry that I'm calling you for. And so he did what the Lord told him to do. It was a big deal, because, you know, where is he going to have the money to do all this? How's he... You know, he has a business to run that he has just shut down. And he starts telling about how, you know, he had to get rid of, he felt in his heart that he should surrender, you know, the hot rods and the motorcycles and that kind of stuff for right then, and just give it to God. You know, because it was the biggest place in his heart was that stuff. And I think we can all relate to that. Sometimes before we ever come to the Lord, there's some things that are just the biggest place in our heart. And the Lord will just say, I want that. That's the very thing I want to put my finger on. And, you know, a lot of times we take that as God's trying to take something from us, but that's not true. Because later on, if we'll follow what the Lord wants us to follow, we'll see what He was doing the whole time, and He'll use it for His glory later on if He can trust us with it. But anyway, he got rid of, you know, the things he had, and he said he's been ministering for about 10 years at this point. He's ministered for over 55 years today. But this was, he'd been ministering for about 10 years or so, and the way I understand it clearly. But he, and I could understand it not perfectly clear, of course. But anyway, he said that this couple came up to him and told him that they were saved under his ministry. And they were partners with his ministry and everything, you know, because he's going all over everywhere, sharing the Word of God everywhere, all kind of places. He has ministered in 3,500 different churches. He's ministered into, like, I forget how many foreign countries. It is unbelievable how many places that God has put him. But he was saying that this couple came up to him and they were, you know, telling him how thankful they were that he had shared the Word, and they had come under the Word. They had got born again through that, and then their family got born again through his sharing of the Word, and just their whole family was excited about what the Lord was doing, and said they had been praying, how can we bless you personally? And he said, don't do that. He said, I'm plenty blessed. He said, that I don't want you to do that. They said, no, we were praying about it, and the Lord told us to buy you a motorcycle. And here's what he told these people. He said, the Lord couldn't have told you that because I gave those to God over 10 years ago, and he couldn't have possibly told you that. He said, because God knows between me and him, I gave all of that stuff up, and that's just between me and him now. He's got that. I don't have it. And so I appreciate it, but you didn't hear from God on that. And the guy... These are people that came up under his ministry, you know, and they said, well, we'd just like you to know something. You're the one that taught us how to hear from God. And we want to let you know that we believe we can hear God just as well as you can hear God. And God told us to give you a motorcycle. And he could see that he had crossed the line and kind of offended these people because he hadn't prayed about it. And he said he just knew that that was the thing with him and the Lord. He's not going to do that. And he said, hang on. He said, stay right here. Let me go somewhere off to the side, and I'm going to pray for a little bit. And he said, Lord, he said, why are they telling me this? He said, did you tell them this? And the Lord said, yes, I did. And he said, Lord, you know mine and your deal with this stuff. He said, so why did you tell them this? And all these years, you know, I've given that to you. He said, because now I can trust you with it. Now, this is 10 years after the fact. He's not had it. He has not focused on it. He has not been involved in it in over 10 years. You see what I'm saying? His primary thing is the work of God. He's only doing the things of God, and that's, he's not touched that. And the Lord told him, he said, I told them to do this for you. I want you to have this because I can trust you with it. So he went back and he told them. He said, where are my keys at? He said, he said, God told me that he spoke to you. And they, you know, gave him I believe it was a new motorcycle. It was a very nice motorcycle. And anyway, as it goes on, now this is the thing about Jerry Savelle. I didn't realize I was going to tell it all like this, but I feel like I'm supposed to this morning. He said that as the years progressed, people would come up to him. I mean, I've followed his ministry for years, so I know it's true. He'll tell the story of somebody will come up to him. Somebody came up to him in a motel one time. He's leaving, his ministry is leaving this motel. They had been ministering for several days in this area. And this guy came in. He was driving a tractor trailer, and he said, does anybody know if Jerry Savelle is still here? He didn't know Jerry. He didn't know any, you know, he was just asking. And he said, well, he's still here, but they're fixing to pull out. And he said, well, I've got something for him. Would you tell him to come see me? I'll be right outside. He had a tractor trailer, and it had all these motorcycles on it. They were specially made. I know there's a word for that, and I can't think of it right this second.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it.
Whatever y'all said, I'm sure that's it. But they were all specially made like that. And he gave him several of the, I mean, it was like five of them. And, you know, he delivered them. And, okay, this kind of stuff has happened to him over and over and over. He had to build a museum at his house for all the things that were given to him, motorcycles and classic cars and antique cars and all this kind of stuff. He's got this huge museum in his house. Okay, now let me tell you, let me go here a minute. This stuff, it doesn't have him. And see, God can give you anything that doesn't have you. But if it's got you, he can't trust you with it. And you really got to understand this principle because it's a big deal. And the body of Christ really doesn't get it because as a general rule, most people in the body of Christ can't fathom it. Anyway, he's at his house one day and Carolyn, his wife, is ministering at Mac Hammond's church. And so she's going to be gone for like a couple days. And he said, I'm fixing to get on my motorcycle, one of my motorcycles. He said, and I'm fixing to ride to this friend's house in another little city. He said, and I'm gonna go have breakfast with them in the morning. I'm going to stay at their house and I'm going to have, you know, breakfast with them in the morning. He said he gets off on his drive and he is just happy camper. He's riding and he said it had this feeling come over him. This is not your motorcycle. He said, huh? This motorcycle you're driving right now, it don't belong to you anymore. This is not your motorcycle. He said, okay. He said, Lord, you know our deal. Anything that doesn't belong to me, I'll gladly give it to you. It nothing has me. And so he went back and he said, okay, you just direct me who I'm supposed to give it to and I'm going to give it away. So he got on another one of his motorcycles. He got on his drive. He's still going to his friend's house. And he's just a little short distance again, almost the same distance. Lord told him again, he said, this motorcycle doesn't belong to you. It was an impression that he had, a strong impression that it was a release, that he's supposed to release this motorcycle. So he said, okay. He took it back to the house. This happened to him like five times. Now that tells you right there he's very prosperous. Okay, and then his wife came home, and the museum that they have with all these motorcycles and these classic cars and stuff, it's empty. And she said, where in the world? What happened? And he said, the Lord just started dealing with my heart that, you know, that those didn't belong to me at this point. I'm sowing them into other people's ministries, and he did. He sowed them into a whole bunch of different ministries. Matter of fact, the five specialty bikes that were given to him, he sowed those into five evangelistic ministries of ministers that couldn't afford motorcycles. Now, of course, if you know anything about Brother Jerry Savelle, his museum is bigger today than it used to be. They had to add on to his museum at his house. It's huge. I mean, you can look at it, a portion of it on YouTube. And he has all these classic cars. People just, I mean, things. I mean, people have come up to him and told him, he said the Lord told him one time through somebody that he was going to give him a Corvette. And he said the Lord just told him this. And then this guy that he didn't know from Adam had called him had given him a sheet of paper with his phone number, said, call me when you read this piece of paper. And he said he's studying, he had done his ministry, and he didn't get in until, I don't know, it was 11:30, 12 o'clock, and he didn't even think about it. He had stuck the man's phone number in his pocket, and he didn't even know what the man wanted, you know, but he said, I'll gladly, you know, call you. And so the next morning at 6 o'clock, he's reading this that he had forgot that he got. And it said, I want to bless you with a brand new Corvette. I own a Corvette dealership, and I want you to come and pick it out. He said, but I wanted to see if you were interested in this. And, you know, this has been hours and hours ago. It looks like, you know, he just hadn't had time to even check his pocket. He forgot it. And so he said he waited a long period of time, almost 10 or 15 minutes, because it was like 6 in the morning, and he said, I'm going to have to call him this early. But he called him, and he said, yeah. He said, you know, I'd love it. So he went down, and the guy told him, he said, now, on the whole dealership, he said, you pick out the one that you like, and that's the one you can have. And so he picked out the one that he wanted, and the man said, that's exactly the one that I told my salespeople that you were going to pick. That's the one that I picked that I felt like the Lord was going to give you. And it was just God all the way around it. But I said that to say this, as long as you don't put things before God. See, a lot of people, okay, they can't have nice things. And God's not opposed to anybody having nice things. He wants you to have nice things, but He doesn't want nice things to have you. And if nice things, okay, a lot of people, okay, I'm going to just be a pastor for a minute. A lot of people, the second somebody blessed them with a motorcycle, you would see them riding by the church. And you'd see them, well, they used to come here on Sundays and Wednesdays. Whatever happened to them? There they go again. They're riding by the church. And you say, well, that's funny, Pastor. That's very funny. You know, I'll tell you a true story. We used to have people, there have been more than one person through the years that people have picked up and brought to church service. Picked up and brought to service. Every week, they were faithful. Picked up, brought them to service. And then God blessed them with a vehicle. And then you never saw them again except riding by in the vehicle. Why? Because their soul wasn't prosperous enough to handle the blessings that the Lord wanted to give them. Because their soul was focused on that. I could go where I want to go now. I don't have to go to church. I can go wherever I want to go. God doesn't have to be first in my life. People do that same thing when they're blessed with a windfall of money. They say, well, you know, I don't have to do all this praying. I can just schedule cruise after cruise after cruise after cruise after cruise. There's nothing wrong with cruises. That's not my point here. My point is, if you can't do the work of God because you've already made plans, because God has blessed you in such a way that He's wanting to pour out His blessings on you, but now you don't have time for the Lord, then that may be why that we're not blessed to the degree that we would like to be blessed, because God can't trust us with it. This is much better preaching than y'all are amening. Just thought I would let y'all know. Hallelujah. Spiritually mature people can be trusted with things. Spiritually immature people can't. They would allow those things to become their gods and spend all their time with those things. They would stop being committed to God and His call. I heard Keith Moore talk about years ago when he was first blessed with it was a Corvette. It just happened to be a Corvette in this illustration. And he said he's I don't know how it came about, but he's got this Corvette, and every weekend he is polishing this Corvette. He is shining this Corvette. You know, and he is working on this Corvette. He's doing everything he can. He's taking good care of this Corvette. But you know, he doesn't have as much time for the ministry stuff that he used to have, because now he's spending all of his excess time dealing with the Corvette. You'll get it in a minute. God's not going to give His children something that'll hurt them because they're not mature enough to handle it. Okay, 3 John 1 and 2. Beloved, this is King James. Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. A soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So as our mind, our will, and our emotions prospers, then God can really bless us. If our heart is for God and not for those things, God is unlimited in His ability to bless us with things. Don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't want you to have nice things, because that's not true. The same scripture, 3 John 1 and 2 in the NIV, Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you just as you are progressing spiritually. And we talked about that in the beginning, growing spiritually. So, let me ask you some questions. Why can't you give a drug addict a lot of cash? Because their drug addiction is the number one thing in their life, and if you give them a lot of cash, it'll hurt them, because they'll spend it on their addiction. They won't spend it on food. You're wanting them to buy some food because they need food, but they won't buy the food because the addiction is they got the focus on the wrong thing. Can you see what I'm talking about? And they'll spend that money on drugs. Matter of fact, if you give a drug addict too much money, they'll kill themselves with it. Their soul, their mind, will, and emotions is not the place that they can handle money. And there's a lot of Christians in the body of Christ that are not mature enough in their soul, their mind, will, and emotions to spend money properly. You could bless someone who is spiritually immature, you could bless them with money to pay a bill. Maybe they need to pay a bill desperately and you find out about it and you want to bless them. You want to help them do that. And you give them money to pay that bill and you find out they didn't pay that bill with that money. They went and blew that money on something stupid or foolish that they didn't need at this time, but they wasted that money. Can you see where I'm going with this? Okay. So there's a maturing process in the financial realm, in all realms, but there's a maturing process. See, we think if we throw money at something, that'll take care of it. Well, Pastor, don't you see that this person, they need money, they need food, they need this, they need that. And that's for, there's a lot of situations that are true situations like that, and we need to do something about those. But there's a lot of situations where even though they're true situations, you can't do anything about it. Because if you put your money to it, you're going to hinder the work of God in their lives. And I'm serious about that. Because God's trying to do something, trying to get them to depend on Him, and you're getting them to depend on you. You're getting them out of this little dilemma that they have caused, and that's grace and mercy. We all need grace and mercy. But if you need grace and mercy over the same situation 40 years later, it's the exact same situation. You don't need grace and mercy in this situation. You need some tough love. Thank you very much. I'm telling you, there's something ish. I guess I'm going to have to do get you to do one for me where the congregation's going, amen, glory to God. I receive that. Because undoubtedly, because when it gets a little heavy, it seems like, So what we're saying here is to get God's highest and best, you and I must mature spiritually. Okay, I'll give you an example. We gave Benjamin, when he was, you know, old enough to drive a car, he's wanting a Ford Ranger truck. He wanted a black Ford Ranger truck. And I remember me and Pastor Sharon and Benjamin, we joined our faith together. We're believing for exactly the truck that he's wanting. And we're believing for, especially on my end, I was believing on a good price. Real reasonable price, you understand. And anyway, we were believing for that. And we wound up on vacation, and that vehicle was parked on the side of the road at a Chinese restaurant. And it was an unbelievably good price. And it had everything he wanted, the color he wanted, everything he had described. And we bought it there when we were on vacation that year. Now let me, I'm going somewhere with this. God wanted him to have it. But I had a condition. And my condition is that in order for him to have it, in order for him to drive it, it's not just about being 16. You know, a lot of people, they'll give their kids keys to something, but they're not skillful enough to drive it. And they don't understand why bad things happen to good people. It's sometimes because we're stupid. I mean it. You can't just put something like that in somebody's hands that just to show off to their friends. It's got to be, they got to be skillful enough to drive it. To what about all the other crazy people on the road? They got to learn defensive driving. They got to learn regular driving. You understand? They got to be in some situations. I know me and his mom, we both tried to, you know, work with him, and he did good. But I just wasn't satisfied with it. I just didn't have a peace about it. I said, you're gonna have to go to a driving school. And I said, I'll pay for it, but you must go, and, you know, it's weeks of driving school. I said, but you're going to go through driving school before we're going to turn those keys over to you. We let him drive it. We'd be with him or whatever, but by himself is what I'm saying. And he did that. He did very well, and, of course, he's been driving ever since and flying everywhere ever since. I'm telling you. But I said that, you've got to be mature enough to handle the blessings that the Lord wants to give you. And some Christians can't be trusted with the blessings. So, some Christians need to grow up in their handling of money. Grow up in their giving. Grow up in being generous in all areas. There's some Christians that, okay, I've actually done this with people before, that some Christians have a problem with handling finances to the point, okay, if you gave them, I don't know what I've got in my wallet. Okay. All right. I've got a 20 a 20, a 5, a 5, a 5. I did not plan this ahead of time. No, I'm not going to give you the money. Some of y'all want my money. See, y'all coveting my money. What's wrong with you people? God don't want you coveting. He'll give you your own money. 20, 40, 50. This is $60. Okay. Now, this $60 has been in my wallet for a while. Now, let me say this. I'm a giver. I'm a big giver. I rarely ever give cash to people, but I give checks or whatever. But cash, somebody that can't handle money, a lot of times they can't keep cash. It's unheard of. If you know, I don't know how long this $60 has been in my wallet. It's been a long time. Some people can't have $5 in their wallet, or they get all shaky like a drug addict wanting a hit. You know what I'm saying? Oh my God, I got to spend that money. I got to either go to Walmart, or I got to go to the gas station. I got to get me something because I got to spend this money. It's in my wallet. See, that's an immature attitude toward money. Can you understand that? We're going to have to mature in our attitude toward money in order for the Lord to bless us with more money. Oh, that was good. It's good. I heard, because there's a spirit, like a spirit of lack sometimes that's in people's thought process, and so they have to spend everything. But I heard Bill Winston, and I've told part of this before, you know, Bill Winston said you get a different way of viewing things and money and different stuff like that, is you start viewing things as abundance. He said the way he did it is he did it with shampoo. He said he couldn't, you know, he didn't have enough money to rub two quarters together, but he said he wound up buying like two or three shampoos and putting it in his shower. And he said, so every time he looks in the shower, he's got an abundance of shampoo in his shower. Well, in my wallet, I'm not spending all of that I've got. I see an abundance every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you understand?
Yeah.
I surround myself with abundance. I know Ish made a statement one time. It was funny. He was talking about, Ish can be funny, by the way. But he was talking about back when the pandemic hit, if you just came to my house and you didn't know us, you'd think that we were hoarders. You really would. We're not hoarders. We're not hoarders at all. Never been hoarders. Don't believe in it. But at the same time, I applied what Bill Winston said. And like, we may have, oh my gosh, coffee creamers, 5. We may have, you know, just different things. I ain't going to run out of hardly anything. It's going to be, I mean, when I look, I see an abundance. You can say what you want to, but it affects you. You keep your car half full or half empty, or full or half empty, or mostly empty, or past empty. Fumes going to the gas station. You understand what I'm saying? It's the way, you know, we got to train ourselves. We got to mature ourselves to, I'm not going to let it get down to that point anymore. I'm going to do my best to keep it on full. Just like you can keep it on empty, you can keep it on full. Costs the same amount of money, actually. So I hit something in there that really, I don't know what it was, but I'm glad I hit it, whatever it was. So there's all kind of blessings that God longs to give us as His children. But His question to us is, can I trust you with that? Will I still be first if I give that to you? And I want to read you this scripture, Psalms 37 and 4. In the King James, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Can I give you another scripture? Matthew 6:33, and I'll stop with this one. But first and most importantly, seek, this is in the Amplified, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. God bless you. I asked Juan if he'd come. Praise God. Praise God.
I would like to say one more thing. This is to the Faith Builders listeners out there. Please, if you would like a reply to your emails, include your email address within the body of your email. Thank you.